broadcast every Friday morning on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan with Layla Al-Husseini. Our call-in number 248-557-3300. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues with your host, Layla Al-Husseini.
And good morning, everybody. It is Friday, February 10th, 2023, and I'm Ray Hanania here broadcasting at WNZK AM 690 radio. The earthquake in Turkey and Syria has our focus. I have two great guests that are going to help us talk about what's happening. First, we're going to be talking about the effort to bring relief to the people of Syria and Turkey with Dr. Zahar Sahlul, the founder and president of Med Global at medglobal.org. They provide relief to victims of tragedy throughout the world and the Middle East. And then at 8:30 Detroit time, we'll speak with civil engineer Muayyad Khoslan, who is in Syria and calling us from the disaster zone. I believe he's a member of the Syrian National Council. By the way, remember the Arab American Democratic Club has its candidate forum in Chicago at Nico's Banquet Sunday, February 12th at 10 a.m. And you can go to arabdemocraticclub.com to get info on that. We've invited all the mayoral candidates from Chicago, except Lori Lightfoot. She was told we didn't want her after she targeted Arab businesses and shut them down. She's never responded. In fact, they just shut down another wave of Arab American businesses in the city. It's just amazing to me how she can get away with it and the news media doesn't care. We're broadcasting live on WNZK AM 690 and on Facebook at facebook.com/US Arab Radio if you want to watch this show. Let me welcome my first guest. I don't know how this guy dedicates his life to help so many people, but Med Global does a phenomenal job. Dr. Zahar Sahlul. Dr. Sahlul, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I hate it that the only time I talk to you is when there's tragedy in the world, but your organization and you do so much to bring relief there. No, I can't hear you. Let's double check your sound.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I got you now. I can hear you. Thanks, Dr. Sahlul.
You're welcome.
Tell us what's being done. What's the situation from where you stand, you know, for the people in Syria and Turkey, for both of them? Give us kind of an overview of what's happening and how tough it is and what you need.
I started hearing about the earthquake on Sunday night. I was in the hospital. Then I started to get texts from our doctors inside Syria that there's an earthquake. And then I checked on my family. My family live in Homs, and which is not far from the earthquake. Luckily, my mom was awake, and she said, well, we felt it, but it didn't cause any damage in our house. So my mom and dad were okay. And then I see the videos like everyone else. And, you know, and these are horrible videos to see. I mean, I'm sure that people started, most of us have seen these videos of people under the rubbles, children being pulled out. And I said, this is the perfect storm. And this is what this area that doesn't need, you know, after 12 years of war and bombing and targeting of hospitals and even chemical weapon use in the same area a few years ago and siege and ISIS and COVID. Now we have an earthquake that this area in Syria has not witnessed in the last 200 years. Southern Turkey is used to earthquakes, but not in this magnitude. But northern Syria is not used to these earthquakes. And buildings are not built to weather earthquakes like in some areas in the world, like Japan and others. So the impact of the earthquake was horrible. More than 10,000 houses were damaged, either completely or are not livable.
That's so amazing.
In Syria, it is much more. I mean, major cities in Turkey like Gaziantep and Antakya and Kilis and Malatya have been completely or near completely damaged. That 80% of the buildings are not livable. There were no electricity, there was no running water, there is no transportation in these major cities of Turkey. And that, of course, affected the flow of relief to northern Syria, because most of the highways going to the border crossings in Syria have been affected. The casualty numbers right now stands about 20,000 between Turkey and Syria. In Syria, about 500, and the rest are in Turkey. But the number is expected to be much higher than that, because you have still thousands of people under the rubble. And at this point, unfortunately, most of them are probably dead. Besides the injured, of course, you have more than in Syria, more than 10,000 people who were injured. In Turkey, much more than that. The weather is horrible. It's icy. You had an ice storm. It's very cold. And you have these numbers of people, 11,000 families in Syria, or 65,000 people homeless suddenly. So they are now in schools, they are in mosques, they are in buildings. And they need shelter. The food is okay so far, but that can be depleted anytime. And also, of course, medical supplies that are needed for the surgeries. Our hospitals in Syria have been working nonstop. Our surgeons have been exhausted. I spoke with Dr. Ahmad Al-Ghandour, who is the head of our hospital in Darkush Hospital. And he was very exhausted. And he told me horror stories about people who he had surgeries on. One of them is this child. He said it stuck in his mind because the child woke up with his house crumbled on himself and the family. He was able to get out himself. There were no rescue and search in the middle of the night, early morning. It happened in the early morning. And he was trying with his bare hands to remove the stones so his mom and dad can get out, and he could not. And all of them died. I mean, his family, his mom and dad and brothers, and he's left alone. He was treated for wounds, but he's completely traumatized because of the situation. And there's tons of histories like that. It's a horrible situation.
That's terrible. I saw, you know, there's this big debate in the U.S. about TikTok, but the only good thing about TikTok is it's not as censored as Facebook or Twitter. And the videos, now you always take everything with a grain of salt, but the videos coming from Syria of these buildings collapsing are horrible. I have never seen such destruction, even in a movie. I don't think they've ever brought that much destruction to the screen. So I know everybody is feeling the pain. What is it like? I mean, given the circumstances in Syria, and let's just focus on Syria for a minute. The country's divided between political groups, the government, Russia and Iran on one end, the independent zones, the zones controlled by Turkey, the zones controlled by others. How hard is it to navigate through that to get aid to the people? There are these stories that it's very difficult to get aid and relief to the people. Well, what's the reality of that from where you stand from Med Global?
It's very hard to get aid to this area in Syria. So as you have mentioned, Ray, and this is true, and not many people know that, the geopolitics and how Syria right now is not one Syria. Syria is four Syrias. Each part is controlled by different governing body and by different entity. So you have Syria controlled by the government or the regime, Assad regime, that is based in Damascus. Most of the international aid flew to Damascus, UN, United Arab Emirates, Russia, Iran, Norway, other international NGOs send the aid through Damascus. The areas that are controlled by the regime are not affected really hard compared to the northwest of Syria or Idlib, where most of the casualties and the videos that you are seeing are coming from. So this area, northwest Syria, is controlled by HTS, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, rebel group, but also it's a terrorist organization. But they have their ministries and they've been in control of this area for the past 6-7 years. 4.2 million people live there. There are major cities like Idlib cities and Saraqib and Harim and Dana and Sarmada. Many of these cities have been damaged badly. The only way to get aid to this area is through Turkey. There is two border crossings, Bab al-Hawa and Bab al-Salama. The United Nations approved to get aid only through one of them, which is Bab al-Hawa. And it was closed, actually, these two border crossing up to yesterday, where the UN were allowed to get into Bab al-Hawa, one convoy, and also Bab al-Salama, the Qatari Red Crescent was able to get some aid. And the reason that they were closed, according to Turkish authorities, was because the highways leading to them in southern Turkey were all damaged. So you have this open-air prison, right, which is Idlib. You have 4.2 million people there. Half of them are displaced from other parts of the country. 1.5 million of them live in camps because there's no enough houses or were built to accommodate all of these displaced people. And now you have only these two border crossings that only yesterday opened. So it's a horrible situation. The only way to get them is an airlift, but I don't think that there is political will in any country to provide airlift to these trapped population. It's like Gaza, but it is in Syria.
Yeah, so there's all this talk about, I mean, and again, it's this propaganda political fight that people are, you know, they're playing politics with this tragedy. Nobody seems, the governments at least can't seem to cut through that just to say, hey, let's just help the people. You have the Syrian government, you have the U.S., you know, there's this embargo against Syria. I don't know why they'd send relief to Damascus, because I just can't see Damascus wanting to get that relief to the people in an area that they're fighting with still, even though the conflict is kind of, you know, tempered a little bit. They don't recognize that area. Have the Turks been cooperative, do you think? I guess I do understand the roads have been just, you can't drive through there. The airports, the runways have been destroyed. Just trying to get aid there. I mean, is Turkey the best way to try and do it? And is it, let me ask you this, is it true that the U.S. was, this embargo is stopping any of the aid or relief?
These are two important and excellent questions, right? The impact of the sanctions, and there are sanctions against the Syrian regime because of what it did to its people.
Right.
It's been Syrian people for the past 12 years. And as we know, more than 600,000 people in Syria were killed, mostly by the regime and Russia and Iran. And half of the population have been displaced. There are still 6.5 million Syrian refugees because of what the regime has done. Torture that was done at an industrial scale by the regime. Chemical weapons were used. Recently, there was a report by the OPCW that they confirmed the use of chemical weapon in Douma by the Syrian regime. And of course, it's still there in power. The sanctions, humanitarian aid is exempt from the sanctions. So throughout the last 12 years and until now, humanitarian aid flows through Damascus. All of the UN aid that all countries contribute to, including the United States, are going through Damascus. International NGOs like Oxfam and Norwegian aid and other countries, now United Arab Emirates, Algeria, Egypt, all of them are sending the aid through Damascus. So sanctions does not pertain to humanitarian food and medicine. So that's one. But the regime does not give aid to these people. The only way through Turkey, and as I've mentioned, the Turkish authorities have been very helpful throughout the last 12 years getting the aid across the border. And only the first 3 days, the road were damaged to the border crossing, and that prevented the aid. Now it's open. And I spoke with the Turkish authorities and the Turkish embassy yesterday about this issue. And they said, they assured me that they will continue to support the aid across the border.
And your aid, the relief that you're raising, that is getting in through Turkey then?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
We have two teams. We have one team in Gaziantep, and we have one team of 200 people inside Syria. Doctors and nurses who've been treating the patients, community healthcare workers who've been distributing diesel fuel in Syria because there is no electricity. So that's used to operate the generators, electrical generators in the hospital. We've been distributing medical supplies. So the aid, which is the money, let me put it that way, the most important aid at this point is money, because everything can be purchased from Syria and from Turkey. That's the fastest way. Now, okay. If you want to of stuff, that can be done also But that will take longer time to get through.
So just to emphasize, all this propaganda, and again, it's on social media, coming from the Russians and the Syrians and the Iranians, that the U.S. embargo and this embargo against Syria is stopping aid. That's not true.
That's not true. Our positions in the Syrian American organizations that the sanctions, of course, no one would like to have sanctions.
Right.
Against.
No, I get that. Right.
But sanctions has nothing to do with the aid. And okay. Sanctions manipulated by the regime to advance its own agenda.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, I can't imagine the Syrian government, Assad's government with the Russians and the Iranians, allowing aid to go in through them into an area where the victims are people they're fighting with. It's almost like, why are we going through Damascus? It just seems, is there an effort or is there a need to go to refocus that aid away from Damascus, maybe through Turkey or a different area? Would it make it easier?
The United Nations Security Council have been doing that by sending part of the aid to across the border from Turkey to northwest of Syria because of what you have mentioned.
Okay. Ray.
Because in the last 12 years, there were other areas that were under the control of the rebel, surrounded by the regime, and the regime manipulated the aid and did not allow it through in Ghouta, Zabadani, Madaya, north of Homs. And they basically used a tactic called starve or kneel. Basically, yeah. They did not allow vaccinations, baby milk, suture kits, medication kits to the areas. There were 2 million people under siege by the regime and the Russian at one point until they surrendered. And that's according to the United Nations. So the regime is known to manipulate the aid to its advantage. So the only way is through Turkey. So please, for people who are raising this, and some of them don't know the situation
right.
in Syria.
They don't, it's you're like right.
That. Yeah, you have an earthquake in Gaza and you give the aid to Israel. That's to Syrians, this is what's happening.
Right.
Please stop, you know, listening to these trolls and people who don't know what's going on in Syria. Listen to the Syrian people who are living in this area, the doctors and the nurses who live in Idlib, because this is what we need to do when we hear about aid in Syria. Listen to the affected population and then make your own judgment. Sanction has nothing to do with this. Turkey has been the best host, actually, for the Syrian refugees, although lately there have been anti-refugee sentiment in Syria, manipulated by political party like right. any other places. By the way, the number of Syrians affected by the earthquake is 7.5 million. 4.2 million of them live in Idlib. 3.5 million of them live in southern Turkey. There are many people who died inside Turkey who were Syrian refugees, and their dead bodies were sent back to Syria to be buried. And, you know, I've heard, you know, one of my friends who is the head of international of Syrian NGO, Benefsaj, his grandson died in Antakya, in Turkey. Many of my colleagues lost their family members in southern Turkey. So Syrians have been affected double in this crisis, tragedy. Of course, Turkish people have been affected, and you see the same scenes. And our hearts are with them. They stood with the Syrian people, and we have to stand with them. But Syrians have been affected double in Syria and in southern Turkey.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and spend a few more minutes with you, Dr. Sefalul, to talk about things that you're able to do. How can people help? They can go to medglobal.org and donate. And as you say, money is the most important thing, so that you can buy the things that are needed. This is Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio in Detroit. We're also broadcasting on Facebook at facebook.com/US Arab Radio. And this video will be streamed all over after the show, so you'll be able to see it if you're just catching on now. My guest is Dr. Zahar Sahlul, the founder and president of MedGlobal at medglobal.org. A little bit later, in maybe about 10 minutes, we'll be talking with a civil engineer, Dr. Muayyad Kozlan, who is in Syria and calling us from the disaster zone to get some firsthand perspective. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
ArabNews.com, bringing you breaking news from across the Middle East and the latest on Arabs in America. Get inside the latest headlines with expert analysis and insights at ArabNews.com. Join over 5 million Facebook fans and over 10 million monthly readers. ArabNews.com, news that matters to you. Get ready for an amazing experience at Ishtar Restaurant on 15 Mile Road in Sterling Heights. Enjoy excellent hospitality from owners Ali Abagdadi and Fatty Bottom, serving the best in Mediterranean food. Try Chef Ali Abagdadi's famous shawarma, the best Iraqi grills and food, and the best Arabic and international dishes. Dine in our authentic atmosphere or take out. Call 586-698-2585 or check us out on Facebook. Ishtar Restaurant practices all CDC guidelines and is open every day 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Have an amazing experience today at Ishtar Restaurant, 3625 15 Mile Road, Sterling Heights. At Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic in Dearborn, we provide effective physical therapy sessions in order to limit pain and discomfort. Top Rehab provides physical therapy care for any diagnosis prescribed by a physician, and we regularly see and treat conditions such as stroke, TMJ, fibromyalgia, sciatica, joint pain, and more. We use a variety of pain management methods, including modalities, soft tissue mobilization, and therapeutic exercise. If you're in need of physical rehabilitation or physical therapy, get the highest quality health care at Top Rehab. Most insurance is accepted, and we're open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 to 6, Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 10 till 2. Call for an appointment today at 313-846-0555. That's 313-846-0555. Choose Top Rehab Physical Therapy Clinic on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. Life's too short to be in pain.
And we're back live here at WNZK AM 690 Radio in Detroit, broadcasting on radio there and also streaming live on Facebook at facebook.com/US Arab Radio. That streaming recording will be available permanently. Our guest is Dr. Zahar Sahloul, the founder and president of Med Global at medglobal.org, which provides relief to victims of tragedy throughout the world and the Middle East. It's probably the most important organization if you're going to do anything. They have such a phenomenal record in helping people, especially in the Middle East. So if you can, you want to do something, go to medglobal.org. Dr. Sahloul, tell us a little bit about what's needed. Just give us a sense of how things are going in terms of getting relief from here, very generous Americans, Arab Americans, through you to Turkey, to cross the border into, you know, and by the way, you said something that was so important. 3.5 million Syrian refugees are in Turkey. So, you know, when you think about the earthquake in Turkey, you think, oh, wow, the Turks are suffering. And they are, I'm sure. But they're compounded, the Syrians are compounded because that area is almost the heart of the Syrian refugees where they fled. Probably the Syrians are suffering the most. It's just terrible. It's painful.
It's tragedy beyond tragedy. I cannot describe it. You know, our team in Gaziantep affected like everyone else, and we had to evacuate some of them who have family, young children who were traumatized also in Turkey. There's actually 4.5 million refugees, as you know, Syrian refugees in Turkey, but 3.5 million of them live in southern Turkey, in the cities that were affected by the earthquake. So it's a horrible tragedy. You mentioned what we can do. Our modus operandi in Medi Global is to be with the people throughout, not only during disasters. So our teams, we have teams that provide sustainable healthcare programs in Yemen, in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Sudan, in Bangladesh, and other places. We send also medical teams to provide healthcare. So right now we're planning to send a group of doctors and nurses to southern Turkey and northern Syria. We've been coordinating with the Turkish authority to make sure that this is facilitated, surgeons and critical care specialists. We also provide certain technology that are adaptable, like portable ultrasound. So you can use it when there is no electricity, there is no CT scans or MRIs. And these devices can be connected to your iPhone or iPad, and your iPhone becomes now the ultrasound. So you can look into the patient's heart or lungs or abdomen to see if there's any bleeding, to see what's the cause of shock, to see if you need to put a chest tube or take the patient to the operating room. So, and we train physicians in the disaster regions on how to do that. We've done that in Ukraine, we've done it in Gaza, we've done it in Yemen and other places, and Syria, of course. We have two hospitals in Syria that have been receiving the victims. So right now people can ask, what are needed most? Of course, prayer is needed, and attention is needed, advocacy is needed to make sure that our government continue to say to send aid, not only to Turkey, which is needed, but also to northwest of Syria. There, we have American troops not far away in the northeast of Syria, so they can use their air bases to provide airlift if there is political will. This political will requires advocacy from our community. So I hope for the same community members who are asking about sanctions, let them call and talk about getting an airlift from the American bases in Syria and maybe in Turkey into northwest of Syria. And that's what's needed right now, because we need heavy machinery for the search and rescue. Diesel fuel is needed, but also medical supplies, because many of the injured have orthopedic fractures, vascular injuries, so they need surgery, they need wound care. So wound kits, anesthesia medications, pain medications, IV fluid, IV antibiotics, painkillers, surgical kits, orthopedic kits, all of them are needed for the medical supplies and consumable, and also mental health support. Everyone I've spoke to inside Syria and also in southern Turkey is traumatized because of they have witnessed. So we have a psychiatric team that is trying to provide mental health support to the victims. Healthcare workers themselves are traumatized. So that's what we are in much need. Food and shelter. Shelter, especially because it's very wintry and icy and cold right now, is needed. So tents, boots, blankets, pocket warmers and things like that will be also in much need. So money is the easiest way to donate. So people can donate on our website or social media. We have bank accounts in Turkey. We transfer them easily to Syria. We've been doing that for the past 12 years. So this is easy for us. People can say, oh, how can you get money into northwest Syria? We've been doing that for 12 years in spite of everything and the war. So we're used to that, and our team are there. And of course, the attention. I read an article, Ray, a few years ago about, was written by the World Vision president. World Vision is a big international NGO. And he said, at that time, 7 years of war in Syria, that after 1 week of an earthquake in Haiti, his organization received more donation than 7 years of war in Syria at that time. And he said the reason is that we don't sympathize with victims of war in the Middle East, American public. When you tell them there is a war in the Middle East, they don't donate. But earthquake is easy. You know what's the villain, and you know who is the victims. The victims are the children that are being pulled from under the rubbles. And the villain is the earthquake. So it's easy to sympathize. And that's why we had this outpouring of sympathy and generosity by the American public from all backgrounds. So I have this patient who is from Deir Yassin, he's Palestinian patient, and he came to me with an envelope of $10,000 of cash. He said, please, can you get it to the Syrian people? Palestinians are generous. Every Arab American I've seen, they've been donating. Many people from different background. We had a Jewish philanthropist who donated $50,000 yesterday, because he said that this remind me of the victims of the Holocaust. So people are generous, and I think it's very.
They can see past the politics. Exactly. And I think the most important message out of this is the need is definitely there, and it's far worse than we think. Especially for the Syrians, because of the political divisions of Syria, but nobody is stopping aid from getting to Syria. The U.S. isn't stopping it. The West isn't stopping it. Turkey is not stopping it. There seems to be this propaganda that they're trying to punish the people in that region because they're not supported, by the government in Damascus. So I think people really need that confidence and understand that you can get money, you can get aid there. And it is going the right way, and not to listen to these naysayers. Any final thoughts at all, Dr. Zahlul. And again, I so appreciate it. You're so busy, and I feel terrible even taking you away for 30 minutes to help share this with people, because everything you're doing is so important to the people that are suffering there. So any final thoughts, anything that you want to mention that we didn't touch on?
No, I think it's important to listen to the affected population. You know, our model in MedGlobal is to be with the people, see what's their priorities, and then act accordingly. So sometimes we here in the United States, when there is an issue like this, we look at social media, listen to some people who are quote-unquote influencers on social media, and then we don't talk with the victims. Please talk with the victims. And this is my advice to my fellow Arab Americans. If you have an issue with Syria or the aid or questions about this, and these are valid issues, ask Syrian American who are on the ground there and tell them, what's the situation? Is it right what we are hearing on social media? And what will you like us to do? You know, when there's an issue in Palestine, I listen to my Palestinian friends and tell them, what would you like us to do? And they tell me, go in the demonstration. We need you in the demonstration. We need you to speak in this rally. We need you to come to this vision. We need you to donate to Gaza. Or this is what I do when there's a problem in Palestine or Yemen or Lebanon. I listen to my friends who are from this area. So do the same. And I know there is political divisions. Syrians are not, all of them are the same page, because you have people who are allied with the regime also.
Right.
Who Detroit and others. But I think it's important to listen to the true story in that area, in the world, in Idlib, in Syria, and listen to the people there and ask them, what do you want? They want attention. They want donation. They want advocacy on their behalf at this point.
All right. We want to thank Dr. Zahar Zahlul, who is with MedGlobal. The website is medglobal.org. All the work that you're doing there in Syria and southern Turkey is tremendous. It always has been. And it's an honor to have you on the program to clear up some of this propaganda that I think is being used to stop. They don't want aid to reach that area because the government in Syria does not like those people. They've stood up to tyranny. They've been oppressed. And they're doing everything they can to worsen the suffering, and we just can't listen to those voices. We'll listen to you. Thank you so much, Dr. Zahlul.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, we'll talk later. And this is Ray Hanania here at WNZK. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to talk with our next guest, Dr. Muayyad Khoslan, who's going to give us a firsthand perspective on what's happening there in Syria. We're going to have him on momentarily right after these messages.
Were you recently at the emergency room, urgent care, or at your doctor's office being told you need a hand, wrist, or elbow specialist? At the Katranji Hand Center, we offer the latest techniques in hand, wrist, and elbow care. From sports injuries to work injuries to everyday hand, wrist, and elbow problems, the specialists at Katranji Hand Center are here to get you back on track. Call us in East Lansing today at 517-332-4263 or visit us at katranjihandcenter.com to schedule your appointment today.
What's my ETA?
Your estimated time of arrival is 9:17.
I'm late. I'll have to punch it.
Speeding will save you just 1 minute and 36 seconds. It will also increase your risk of a crash, as well as the odds that you will be stopped and issued an expensive speeding ticket.
Yeah, but...
In 1 year, there were 22,000 speeding-related crashes in Michigan, resulting in 200 deaths.
If I had someone in the car with me, I'd drive slower. But it's just me.
This is not a logical response. Though you have no passenger, surrounding cars contain 27 others, including 5 children and 1 Labrador retriever.
How do you know all this stuff?
I know everything, Kevin.
Your risk of a crash increases with every mile you drive over the speed limit. So slow down. Speed enforcement is happening now. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
When it comes to reproductive medicine, IVF Michigan Fertility Centers are the recognized leaders. With locations in Bloomfield Hills and five other cities in Michigan and Ohio, IVF has experts in all aspects of the field. As a founding member of IVF Michigan Fertility Centers, Dr. Nicholas Shama is one of the leading reproductive endocrinologists in Michigan and Ohio. Dr. Shama has performed over 10,000 IVF cases and has helped thousands of couples fulfill their dreams of parenthood. American board certified in both obstetrics and gynecology and reproductive endocrinology and infertility, Dr. Nicholas Shama is a very caring, compassionate, expert physician that understands not only the medical but also the emotional toil of infertility on his patients. When it's time, get personalized care from Dr. Nicholas Shama at IVF Michigan Fertility Centers in Michigan and Ohio. Call toll-free 855-952-9600, 855-952-9600.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania. It is February 10th, Friday, here at WNZK AM 690 Radio, broadcasting live in Detroit, the greater Detroit region, and also broadcasting on Facebook.com/US Arab Radio. So we reach more people. The streaming program will be available when we're done, so you can watch and listen. Our guest, Dr. Zahar Sahloul, the founder and president of MedGlobal at medglobal.org, gave us a good understanding of the truth about all this propaganda that's being spread on Facebook and Twitter and social media, trying to say that the U.S. and Turkey are blocking aid to the people in the earthquake zone, when in fact it is the government in Damascus. The Western embargo is not stopping the humanitarian relief. Humanitarian relief is exempt from the embargo. So don't listen to these people. You can donate. You can help. Now we're lucky to have with us civil engineer Dr. Muayyad Kozlan, who is in Syria, I understand. Dr. Kozlan, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know it's a difficult thing to do. It's a pleasure to have you on. Tell us a little bit about yourself. This is the first time I've had you on the program, so that our listeners know, you know, all the work you've done and everything that you do, and who you are, and a little background.
Well, I'm Dr. Muayyad, civil engineer, PhD. I graduated from Spain. I've been living here in Sarma, the city, since a year ago, more or less. Been traveling between Turkey and northern Syria, for projects and humanitarian aid issues. I've been visiting this area since 2013, where I have been before was as a member of the Syrian National Council. And I'm not a member from the Syrian coalition. We have been apart from politics since 4 years ago, where we are concentrated in humanitarian aid issues. And now I'm here, and I've seen it myself, all the earthquake impact.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about, you were a member of the Syrian National Council, but over the last 4 years, you said you've kind of moved away from the politics and stuff like that, focusing on helping the Syrian people. Is there an organization you're working with directly, or with several of them?
Well, several of them, like SHAM organization and SAMS, we have been cooperating with them, trying to organize some aid from Western Europe, like Spain and sometimes from Turkey. But it's been organized efforts for helping some camps here, where refugees are more than 1.5 million residing in the Sarma, Dardana, and all the like cities like Afrin, Jindaris, all those, you know, are full of refugees, and we have been trying to organize some efforts, doing some projects here.
Tell us what it's like then over there right now. I mean, what are you seeing? How bad is it?
Well, now we are living we have lived the first stage disaster 4 days ago. Now we are living on the second stage disaster. We have been transferred, you know, unwillingly. After living years of conflict, And after living years of a humanitarian crisis and millions of displaced people from the rising from the Syrian war and the Syrian regime, now we have seen a major disaster, a major natural disaster like the earthquake we suffered 3 days ago. It was an utter, complete devastation that we have seen. All the construction here is not prepared to face such a disaster due to the, we are talking about millions of displaced people who have no ability for those buildings to withstand the dynamic forces of any earthquake. Usually under normal conditions, building walls and columns and beams can experience some withstanding, but here we are talking about no conditions on the buildings can survive such a disaster, which even the Turkish building code has not been able to face the disaster. So imagine that the impact is doubled here on displaced people who have suffered war, humanitarian crisis, and now the utter devastation of the earthquake. I've seen thousands and thousands of newly displaced people who have left their refugee homes, like cities like Salqin, Harim, and Junderes. Above all, it's the major affected with the devastation, and living now sleeping with degrees of 1 degree centigrade, living on parks, the fewest parks who we have two or three in Samada. People are living in the parks now, and trying to have some tents. We don't have medical teams. We don't have shelter tents. Only 100 tons of aid have reached from Qatar, but they are not enough. This is only enough for 6 or 7 hours. And we have not received any aids from any other countries, except some teams who have arrived from maybe Algeria, maybe from Qatar. Some Spanish teams, I've heard about them yesterday, but the devastation is incredible. The second stage disaster has begun, and it's going to last for a month at least. We don't know how to give a new refugee places and shelter to those hundreds and hundreds each hour of families who are leaving their homes because of the cracks, because they are insecure to stay in.
You know, a lot of the Syrians up there are already refugees. And now they're being made refugees again with even less than what they had, you know, before. I can't even fathom the tragedy that they're going through, the suffering and the tragedy. It sounds like this is going to take a long time before any real aid and support is going to reach everybody there.
Yes, I think so. I don't know why the world is forgetting about this area specifically. It has been damaged much more severely than the Turkish, which they have infrastructure. We don't have infrastructure here. We don't have
even in Syria.
Yes, right. We don't have. We even don't have suitable building structure. We don't have even suitable building materials, because people use the cheapest materials and concrete joints to construct to something which is very simple to stay in. Those, the people who have maybe $5,000 to $10,000, they would use the cheapest materials. But many people, we are talking about millions and millions who are staying in camps, refugee camps. Maybe they didn't suffer such the impact because they don't live in a concrete structure. This is true. But we have newly displaced people who were living in concrete structures, simple concrete structures. Now they are displaced. We are talking about more than 500,000 people displacing in the last week, and it's going to be more than 500,000 in the coming days. That's why I'm talking about second stage disaster, which is starting right now.
I want to talk to you about some of the obstacles, the political and the structural obstacles that are making it so difficult to reach the Syrians. And as you point out, it really is the Syrians that need the focus, because that country is basically destroyed. As our prior guest pointed out, Syria is really four different political entities, and They're not really working together. The country is under embargo, although humanitarian aid is not embargoed of any kind. So let's talk about that. We got to take a quick break here for our ad sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking with our guest, civil engineer Dr. Moayed Kozlan, who is in Syria and calling us from the disaster zone, a former member of the Syrian National Council and now works with a number of aid organizations there. And he's giving us a firsthand perspective on what's happening. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Moayed Kozlan right after these messages.
Our noses can sniff out all kinds of things, good things and bad things. Your nose knows if those sniffles are just a cold, allergies, or COVID-19. So if you want to be sure, swab and test your nose for answers. It's good to know. Find testing information and resources at michigan.gov/COVID test. A message from the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services.
When you're looking for the best in optical care, Dr. Imad Nakash is your doctor to see. With years of experience and thousands of successful procedures performed, you can trust your eyes to Dr. Imad Nakash. See Dr. Imad Nakash and his professional staff for your eye care needs. There's two locations to serve you. In Hazel Park, call 248-336-3937. 248-336-3937. In Rochester Hills, call 248-299-3937. That's 248-299-3937.
LIFE is a nonprofit charity that's provided humanitarian aid and development to people and communities for over 25 years, regardless of race, color, religion, or cultural background. When disaster occurs here or around the world, LIFE for Relief and Development rushes in to provide food, medical aid, and shelter to those in need. Please help improve these efforts. Make your tax-deductible donation to LIFE now at lifeusa.org or call 248-424-7493.
And we are live. We're live here at Arab Radio in Detroit, WNZK AM 690. We spoke with Dr. Zahar Sahloul about the obstacles there. We're now talking with civil engineer and Dr. Moayed Kozlan, who is in Syria and calling us from the disaster zone. We talked about how all this propaganda on TikTok, worse than Facebook. It's worse. Believe me, TikTok is more open than Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is getting a little better now that it's been taken over by somebody who isn't playing politics. But the TikTok propaganda from the Syrians and the Russians and the Iranians claiming that the U.S. is blocking aid to the Syrians is just untrue. Dr. Moayed, how do you feel about that? I mean, are there any thoughts or do you try to rise above the politics, you know, to address what the issues are?
Well, it's very simple. We need from the Syrian regime to open all border crossings and make all the humanitarian aid go through those border crossings into northern Syria. As we know, the north and west part of Syria is not under the regime, the Syrian Assad control, and it's the most affected by the earthquake. So also, I think the U.S. should move quickly to suspend lift as many as its broad sanctions in order to make it. We don't call for prohibiting or stopping the humanitarian aid to the Syrian regime, but we are sure that its corrupted government will not make it transparent as distributing all the humanitarian aid which could get to this area. So we are calling to use the Turkish border crossings like Bab el Hawa, Ma'bar Bab el Salama, and all those Turkish Syrian, northern Syrian points would be much more effective to distribute the humanitarian aid, which will be needed in the second and the third stage now after taking off all the people who are trapped in the rubble and distributing them into new areas So I think we have raced against times, not only due to the rebel, due to the political differences, which the regime, the Syrian regime, is trying to use in order to make all the humanitarian aid go through their control, which is, I think, is not totally, which should not be totally conducted through them. And all the humanitarian aid, the United Nations and the United States, shall use the Turkish-Syrian northern borders, which will make it at least much more balanced to give this aid and to reduce the disaster, and maybe introduce the, some relief to those people who are being displaced. And I think the political differences between the all organizations who are controlling the area in northern Syria and the political government of Assad will be always on the scene. Yeah. But we should know how to conduct this aid in order to get to the final people using transparent organizations, which has been well-reputed in the area and operating since many years. The government, the Assad government, has not given such a transparency, and everybody knows how money, how much corruption is used there. The Iranian, or allies of the Syrian, are trying to send all the aid, all the humanitarian aid through Damascus, which we have not seen anything here, and no border crossing have been opened between us and between the Syrian regime.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I mean, listen, why would the Syrian government want to help the people in that region when it's been kind of partitioned almost and consists of anti-Assad, you know, refugees who have been victimized by the government? It doesn't seem like, why would these European governments in the West send anything through Damascus? I agree that it really should go through Turkey, through that border, Bab al-Hawa, on the northern part of Syria, to get, that's the better way to do it. But there, sadly, the politics is blurring and increasing the suffering of the people there. If this were reversed, if this were Damascus that had an earthquake and there was so much suffering, everybody would come and help the people there, regardless of Assad's regime and the Russian and Iranian military that they have there. But because it's in an area that is anti-Assad, I believe, and from what I've heard, is the government is blocking and slowing down everything. And I will bet that in a little while, in a few months, you will see the Syrian regime with the Russians make an effort to reclaim that territory and take it over. That's the big fear that a lot of people have. What, in your opinion, what do you think needs to be done to help? What can people do? What can people do to help the Syrians?
Well, people can do just to unite efforts and organize themselves as soon as possible, because we're running out of time to send all medical teams, shelter tents, and tons of daily aids across those boarding crossings, like Bab al-Hawa. I have been in Bab al-Hawa yesterday, and daily I've been there. There's a hospital which called Bab al-Hawa near just the border crossings. Everybody who's thinking that the Syrians are too population, he must be wrong. Humanitarian aid does not distinguish between those who live under the regime or those who live outside the regime-controlled areas. We are all Syrians, and we are all humans, but we have to see which is more reasonable, how to conduct this aid to the suitable places. The border crossing of Bab al-Hawa is open. I think everybody shall look for some way, certain way. It's very easy to find now in social media. Medical teams, shelter tents, food, everything is needed. Imagine that such a disaster can happen in any anywhere else. I think sometimes even physical money could do something. Yesterday we have been in a camp trying to give them some food, and many organizations have tried to give the same food, you know, at the same time. So many organizations are doing the same at the same time because there's no coordination. So sometimes money in the suitable organization, which you trust, could be much more helpful, and they can buy the suitable things here, like medical equipments. We need heavy equipments also to take all the wreckage, all the debris, all the rubble. And I think the time is passing out, and I think we're racing against times. I invite everybody to help. Even $1 is helpful. And all those organizations, medical organizations, humanitarian aid organizations, shall be moving as soon as possible and make all the suitable pressure on the Turkish and the Syrian controlled areas to open all the crossing borders. The crossing borders of Bab al-Hawa is open. It's receiving we have received, I think this morning, 6 trucks, which is not suitable even for 1,000 or 2,000 people and all needs for 3 days. So it's really a shameful
it's reaction. Slow. The response is slow, in other words. The damage to the roads, the damage to the airport, the politics, it's like molasses. It's holding everything back, and that must be aggravating the suffering even more.
We will not be able to change the political regulations. We know that CSIS Sanctions Act started in 2020, but while broad sanctions and the threat of secondary sanctions is taking their way now, we don't care about this now. We shall care about the people who are suffering a second displacement. You know, they are displaced for second times in 4 or 5 years.
Right.
Most of the people here have been displaced in 2015, 2016, and most of them from Saraqib and other areas have been displaced in the 2019, 2020. So we have been suffering several wars, you know, since 2011 until today, and with each war, hundreds of thousands of displaced. And now we have the earthquake, so we have to double efforts and try to get to those organizations, as I told you, maybe Sham organizations, SAMS. There are many organizations who are well trusted and they can get through them. Even $1 is helpful. Let the people here see that the Americans and all the Arabs who are residing in America and all those people cares about human. Just having this feeling is enough, I think. Let them think that they are well heard. Let them think that they are humans like all those who are living in the States. We're just living in the wrong area, I think. But this doesn't mean that they can forget about us. Do not forget about the Syrians. They need your aid as soon as possible.
All right, Dr. Muayyad Kozlan, thank you so much. Is there, I don't know if you're writing online where people can follow you, or is there a way any people can follow you to get updates on what's happening?
I will send you some data afterwards, the program, they can follow me, okay?
All right, great, thank you.
My Facebook and some TikTok.
All right, Dr. Muayyad Kozlan joining us from Syria. Thank you so much for joining us. We wish everybody, our prayers are with everybody in northern Syria and southern Turkey. And as they pointed out, a lot of the people in southern Turkey are actually Syrian refugees from what happened earlier 7 years ago, from all the fighting and everything that has been taking place over there. Thank you so much, Muayyad.
Thank you so much for saving me. I hope everything gets better. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. And again, this is Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690. Just a couple things. The Arab American Democratic Club in Chicago has its candidate forum and brunch at Nico's Banquets on Sunday, February 12th at 10 a.m. The Arab community in Chicago needs to be there. You know, they got to wake up in this city. They're just like sleepy. Go to ArabDemocraticClub.com to get info, tickets, and information on all the candidates. And also make sure to check out my columns and news stories at ArabNews.com. And at Hanania.com. And follow me, of course, on TikTok at Ray Hanania to keep up with my political reports and my stand-up comedy bits. I'm Ray Hanania. I want to thank Layla Hosseini and Mike, our producer, for getting this show on the air. This is such an important program. to help cut through the propaganda that's coming out of Damascus about what's happening in northern Syria in the earthquake. I'm Ray Hanania. We'll talk to you again later. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Bye-bye. Have a great week.